Good morning, and thank you for joining us today. I'm Maria Auler, Financial Manager at InterCement, and with me here today for our fireside chat is Paulo Diniz, our Chief Executive Officer, and Marco Zangari, our Chief Financial Officer. The presentation will be followed by a question-and-answer session. If you'd like to ask a question, you may send it via webcast. The presentation is available through the webcast link that has been provided to you in your registration email. Before we start, please note that on this call, you will hear discussions of non-IFRS financial measures, including EBITDA, adjusted EBITDA, and margins. Reconciliation of these non-IFRS measures to the most directly comparable IFRS financial measures is contained in the accompanying material that supports this call or the financial report, which is available at the investor section of our website, as well as on the Singapore Exchange website. During this call, we will make forward-looking statements about events and circumstances that have not yet occurred, including outlook and projections of InterCement's operating activities and their anticipated financial impact on our business and financial results for 2023 and beyond. These statements are based on management's current expectations and actual results and future events may differ materially due to risks and uncertainties, including those detailed from time to time in filings InterCement makes with the Singapore Exchange Commission. InterCement disclaims any obligation to update information contained in this forward-looking statement, whether because of new information, future events, or otherwise. Please refer to the InterCement third quarter financial report for a basic discussion of the relevant risks and uncertainties. All public information is available on our website. Before starting our chat, I would like to emphasize management's decision to classify South Africa and Mozambique business segments as discontinued operations in accordance with international accounting, IFRS 5, as InterCement has signed an SPA selling these operations to the Chinese company Huaxin Cement. Therefore, the respective assets and liabilities are presented as current in the balance sheet in specific line items. In the profit or loss statement, the results for those operations are also segregated in a specific line item. Nevertheless, considering that, for the time being, InterCement continues to manage South Africa and Mozambique operations, you will note that on the earnings release and on this call, we are including and present Africa operations with the consolidated continuing operations, Brazil and Argentina. Having said all that, let me kick the ball here and ask you, Paulo, to give us a quick overview of InterCement's third quarter.
Hi, good morning, everyone. In a very simple way, this third quarter was better than the second quarter, although no better than the third quarter of last year. Our top line saw a volume slightly over 4.7 million tons, an increase of 7% compared to the second quarter, but 3% below the volume of almost 4.9 million tons booked in the third quarter of last year. And that was mainly driven by Argentina, which posted a 7% volume drop, reflecting lower construction activity before presidential elections. Translating our top line into dollars, the net sales reached $489 million in the quarter, a drop of 9% in comparison to the same quarter of last year. Competitive environment in Brazil, with aggressive pricing in the southeast region by a big player, inhibited general price recovery, while Argentina faced softer price dynamics in US dollars due to the mismatch between local inflation and currency devaluation, which led to a price drop in US dollars. On the positive side, cash costs and expenses decreased by 6.7% in the period, with all geographies showing a reduction in cost, reflecting the softening of fuel prices, especially petcoke, returning to the levels similar to those of 2000, 2020. In fact, the average cash cost, including freights, fell by 9% and reached $70 per ton. However, cost reduction was not enough to offset the weaker top line. Consequently, adjusted EBITDA reached $112 million, representing a 10% decline over third quarter of last year, although EBITDA margin of 23% stood at the same level of that year. Considering this adjusted EBITDA, our free cash flow to firm stood at $66 million, which was $49 million below the high level of cash generation in the third quarter of last year, impacted by lower adjusted EBITDA in $13 million and for not benefit from the level of working capital reduction seen in the third quarter of last year, which contracted by $32 million, partially offset by lower income and tax paid. Additional financial movements and dividends flow, we came to a free cash flow, which was basically zero for the quarter, a gap of $101 million compared to the third quarter of last year, when benefited not only from higher operational cash flow, but also from lower financial expenses in a no operational asset sale. As a consequence, net debt came at almost $1.6 billion, which was also penalized by the 4% appreciation of the Brazilian real against the dollar, implying a leverage ratio of 3.8 times the last 12 months adjusted EBITDA. In summary, the third quarter was the strongest quarter so far in the year, with volumes of 4.7 million tons and adjusted EBITDA of $112 million, although, as I said, below the third quarter of last year.
Thanks for this overview, Paulo. When you talked about a top line of $189 million in the quarter, we are always curious about volumes and prices in the different geographies. Zangari, perhaps you can share some insights on this?
Absolutely. Thank you, Maria, and good morning, everyone. As you said, sales reached $489 million as a result of a 3% reduction in volume to 4.7 million tons in the quarter, combined with an average price at $85 per ton, as shown on page 7, which also reflected the significant devaluation of the Argentine peso, reaching 138% year on year, and the South African rand varying 16% year over year. Taking a look at the different perimeters, in Brazil, the cement industry recorded a 2% decrease in the quarter, still facing macroeconomic challenges to recover the growth path as higher interest rates, household indebtedness, and lower real estate launches. Meanwhile, as shown on page 4, we see that Intercement Brazil reached volumes of cement and clinker of hopefully 2.3 million tons, basically flat compared to the third quarter of last year, and therefore slightly better than the overall industry performance due to its go-to-market strategy focused on continuous portfolio optimization within a growing and widespread customer base. However, money-wise, reflecting the retraction in prices in the main regions of the country, Intercement Brazil reached sales of $193 million, posting a 4% decrease year over year, as shown on page 7. On the other hand, when compared to the second quarter, revenue grew by 7%. Looking at the perimeter of Argentina, our volumes were reduced by the lower sales of bagged cement, reflecting the political and economic uncertainty that intensified after the August primary elections, which was partially offset by the bulk cement segment on the back of solid demand for concrete by private construction and small-scale public works. Therefore, in this third quarter, Loma Negra posted a volume of 1.7 million tons, a decrease of 7% year over year, as shown on page 5. Nevertheless, the volume reached in this period is the second best of history for the industry in Argentina. This contributed to a 14% retraction in revenue in US dollar terms, which also reflect a softer price dynamics when prices are converted to US dollars, despite the continuous initiatives to adjust prices in local currency according to inflation and to preserve margins. Now, in terms of the African cluster, which is composed of Mozambique and South Africa, as you can see on page 6 of the presentation, volumes dropped just slightly, 1.4%, in comparison to the previous year. This was so because in South Africa, the volume sold remained at the same level as in the third quarter last year, while in Mozambique, volumes declined 3.5% year over year in the quarter on a softer reduction trend in comparison to the previous quarters. Now, talking about prices at our African operations, our ex-works prices reached an average of $94 per ton, a slightly drop, just 1% year on year in US dollar terms, despite the 16% devaluation of the rand, the local currency in South Africa. So disregarding it, on a like-for-like basis, prices would have increased by 7% in the quarter compared to last year. This pricing movement was enough to offset the volume drop, so sales increased 1%. Excluding the Forex impact, sales would have grown 9%, as shown on page 7 as well.
Thank you, Zangari. It was clear that pricing was key to mold the company's shy top line. In addition to pricing, a closer management of costs is also very important in this high inflation, high interest environment. Paulo, how this challenge has affected Intercement's EBITDA generation?
Well, as I mentioned before, and I guess we can see that on page 8 of the presentation, average cash cost of $70 per ton represented a reduction of 9% in the quarter. Unfortunately, this healthy cost performance was not enough to make up for the corrosive top-line drop of 9%, which presented a volume drop of 3% and an average price of $85 per ton. Consequently, the adjusted EBITDA of $112 million represented a margin of 22.9%, so consistent with the 22.7% in the third quarter of last year, with a shy operational performance mainly in Brazil and Argentina. In fact, in Brazil, the adjusted EBITDA totally $43 million, a decrease of almost 8% versus the third quarter of last year. But compared to the second quarter of this year, this result was up 16% and margins also up by almost 2 percentage points, reflecting both higher volume and cost retraction. In Argentina, the higher currency depreciation over the local inflation led to a temporary price drop in US dollars, coupled by a 7% volume contraction on this pre-election period. So that imposed an adjusted EBITDA of $52 million to Loma Negra, so a 13% drop in the quarter, although EBITDA margins was at 23% in the quarter, so the same level of the third quarter of last year. Finally, the African cluster posted a volume of 1% and weak average price in US dollar terms, but adjusted EBITDA was kept at $16 million, so the same level as in the third quarter of last year.
Thank you, Paulo. And even in what you consider to be a shy quarter, volume was 40.7 million tons and the adjusted EBITDA was $112 million, both higher than the second quarter of this year, that is 7% and 22% higher respectively. So great. And moving now to the below the line results, let me ask you, Zanga, what can you say about this third quarter?
Well, Maria, as shown on page 11, in this quarter, the cash flow from operating activities registered $110 million, weaker than the previous year due to lower levels of working capital variation, mainly in Argentina, where inventories were optimized last year. In addition to it, CapEx was higher than last year due to legal requirement projects, basically environmental projects, in Argentina and Brazil, and higher maintenance needs in Argentina, amounting to $35 million. On the other hand, we paid significantly lower income taxes that amounted to $9 million, posting a decrease of 62% due to lower taxable profit, mainly in Argentina, where deductible financial expenses increased. So we ended up generating a free cash flow to firm that corresponded to 59% of the adjusted EBITDA in the quarter.
Thank you, Zangari. And besides working capital moves, CapEx, and taxes, any other movement below the line, including financial flows, that you could give us some additional color?
Oh, sure, Maria. As I was saying, given those operating results, our free cash flow to firm reached $66 million, which is healthy, but basically at the same level of the interest expenses in the quarter. As we can also see on our cash flow, interest paid in the third quarter this year amounted to $65 million, corresponding to an increase of $32 million year on year due to higher debt position in Argentina, resulting from the optimization of the local capital structure in association with the dividend policy in place. By the way, in that sense, as we mentioned during our last earnings call, Loma Negra in July paid $25 million of dividends to its minority shareholders, which was part of its third dividend payment during this year. Additionally, Argentina issued new notes amounting to $55 million of Class 3 negotiable obligations, raised $18 million of bilateral loans and backup lines, and also amortized debts in the amount of $48 million. Reflecting all those cash movements, as shown on page 12, Intercement ended the quarter with a consolidated cash position of $180 million and a net debt of $1,593 million, posting an increase of 10% over our net debt position at the end of 2022. This was mostly driven by the Brazilian real appreciation of 4%, since the BRL is the currency of 52% of the total gross debt, and also by the payment of dividends and interests, mostly from Argentina and holdcos. As a result, Intercement posted a financial leverage of 3.8 times our adjusted EBITDA of the last 12 months.
Thank you, Zanga. Just great to see that. Despite the existing challenge, Intercement continues to manage properly its cash flow, which included dividends payment by Loma Negra. And Paulo, although I will not ask for any specific guidance, could you quickly share some of your views for the rest of the year, please?
Well, I guess that the rest of the year almost done, but Let me talk a little bit about also the coming year. At this point in time, we do have very blurred crystal ball. In fact, Argentina elect a new president, Javier Milei, in an overwhelming victory. Investors celebrated Milei's narrative about honoring the country's commitments, addressing macroeconomic imbalances without gradualism, and reducing the number of tax and financial regulations. Important to note that Milei's government plan includes the total elimination of public infrastructure, which would be replaced by private initiative, a measure that should have a significant short-term impact on the cement market, which may be temporarily negative for Luma Negra, as we saw in this third quarter. On the other hand, the government plan will seek to eliminate the currency gap as the central bank loses its relevance. In other words, to build a dollar FX with the real dollar value for the Argentinians, something that should be good for Luma Negra and all other companies. In general, market expects a relevant volume drop for the cement industry in 2024, but a better price in real dollars. In Brazil, on one hand, we have the excitement of the Minha Casa Minha Vida program, a low-income housing program, where the government plans to build 2 million houses until 2026 in order to reduce the currency debt that we have here in Brazil of 7.8 million houses. At the same time, there is the PAC, the PAC, the Program for Growth Acceleration, where the government considers investment of 60 billion reais a year from 2024 to 27, totaling 240 billion in this period in transportation, urban infrastructure, communication, social equipment, energy, and water and sanitation. However, on the other hand, we have the endless discussion and challenge, I would say, on addressing the fiscal deficit. Overall, market expects cement demand growth over 3 to 4% in 2024. Therefore, at the same time, we see key vectors point up in Argentina and Brazil. We can also see important vectors pointing down in both countries. However, it's important to say that one thing does not change: the imperative need for cement in Brazil and Argentina, for housing and infrastructure, with such a need being a matter of when and not if.
Thank you, Paulo. And I guess that now we can break for Q&A. Let me warm up this discussion with a couple of questions before we take questions from participants. As usual, let me just start by asking you, Zangari, the cash breakdown of different parameters at the end of the quarter.
Certainly, Maria. We ended the quarter with a consolidated cash position of $180 million. And out of that amount, we had $67 million at the Intercement Brazil, $60 million at Loma Negra in Argentina, $22 million at the African cluster, and $32 million at the corporate consolidated level of the holdcos.
Thanks. And it's very clear that the company is doing its best to meet its financial obligations in the healthiest way possible. Now, following the same topic, are there any updates on the closing of the sale of the African assets?
Thank you for anticipating this question, Maria. Yes. It has been progressing as planned, meaning that we have already completed some of the conditions precedent to closing in accordance to the SPA. As we had previously informed, we expected the transaction to be closed in this fourth quarter, but it depends on local authorities to complete the pending approvals, and legally this can take up to March 24.
Thank you, Zanga.
As we know that many investors are also interested in some common matters, let me kick in here some questions for you, Paulo. First of them, regards this new president elected in Argentina, what kind of measures can Milei take that would be most beneficial for Loma Negra?
As we know, Milei plan for government is based on seven main pillars. One, state reform; two, economic reforms; three, the human capital; four, security reforms; five, defense policies; seven, foreign relations; and seven, infrastructure. So as we mentioned before, two pillars, although a little bit bitter in the short term, could be very beneficial for companies such as Loma Negra. In terms of infrastructure, the plan proposes a works revolution based on a scheme that will bring about the works that Argentina needs for its development, which is the elimination of state public works, replacing it with a Chilean-style private initiative scheme with Peruvian-style waivers and a type of Swiss-style incentive scheme. So in a nutshell, replace the public works by the private initiative in a successful way. In parallel to infrastructure, it should be noted that Argentina today has a housing deficit of around 3 million homes. At least 10,000 neighborhoods need to improve their infrastructure, and more than 200,000 multifamily buildings need to be repaired. So the government shall devote special attention to such gaps, including develop a model from the mortgage bank. Another point that shall benefit all companies, particularly Loma Negra, is encompassed by the economic reforms pillar. Here, the plan talks about investment promotion with a regime focused on mining, hydrocarbons, renewable energies, forests, etc. I mean, to make this happen, the government will advance in one, elimination of exchange restriction; two, elimination of export duties; and three, creation of a special promotional regime for long-term investments. Therefore, to this end, the government will promote the elimination of the exchange rate gap while reducing the central bank role.
Okay, great. Next question that we see many investors inquiring us recently and now as we speak refers to the standstill agreement with the Brazilian banks for the debentures, which is expiring on December the 18th. Will such standstill be extended, and when can we expect additional clarity on this front?
Yes, that's correct. The standstill with the Brazilian banks is expiring on December the 8th. At this point, we have met with all the three banks and have formally asked for an extension, as the process involving the strategic options continue to be explored. Hopefully, we can have a positive position from the banks in the coming week.
Okay. Let's see what's next. Okay. Since our last earnings call, we have seen more articles in the press about asset sales. Can you provide us with any update on this strategic move and thoughts on Intercement's shareholders on that?
Yeah, let me step back a little bit and refresh that towards the end of the first quarter, the group had hired financial advisor and legal advisors in order to explore solutions for InterCement capital structure. Due to the workload and even some expressions of interest for some assets, the group decided to have such financial advisor and legal advisor focus on his structure of InterCement debt. In parallel, as the market is not open for IPOs, the group decided to explore, with the help of a BTG bank, some strategic moves, three in special. One, the entry of another investor at InterCement shareholding structure. Two, the merger with another cement player. And three, a partial or full divestment of the cement business. Naturally, that from a shareholder's perspective, they really want to address InterCement indebtedness and make sure that the operating companies, InterCement Brazil and Luma Negra, can perform at their full potential. Currently, we are exploring the strategic avenues, but the process is still in an embryonic stage. Therefore, any comment about binding offers would be just a guessing exercise and totally inappropriate.
Okay, thank you, Paulo. Let's check whether there are more questions coming. The next question refers to the waterfall of use of proceeds from potential asset sales. How would that be?
Yeah, I guess that it's important to note that in the normal course of business, basically, if you take a look at the debentures indenture and the bonds indenture, we have a waterfall that first, any proceeds from asset sales should be used in order to amortize debt. Second, proceeds from assets disposable should be used in order to amortize first the debentures and then other debts, including bonds. So this is basically what we have in the, as I said, debentures and bonds indentures in a normal course of business.
Okay, next question from Nicolas. He asks us whether we will remain current on the bond coupon as negotiations progress. Can you confirm?
Well, as we saw last July, I mean, the company paid its coupon on the bonds. The next coupon is due in January. At this point in time, the company is making sure that all the conditions that should be met in the bonds indenture is being met. And at this point in time, we do not anticipate any new surprises on that front.
Okay, we have here a question from Mike, which is on our capacity in Brazil. He's asking us how much of our capacity is mothballed in Brazil. So we basically today have 5 million tons of our total installed capacity that is mothballed. Hopefully 1.3 million tons of that capacity is to be replaced by a project in the Northeast that we had under construction, but we suspended the construction basically 10 years ago. But it's half constructed at this point in time. And we have the equipment on site already purchased. So if we are to return with that capacity, that would be with this new project, not with this mothballed capacity of 1.3 million tons. But the other ones, if the market allow us, could be basically resumed. Okay, next question comes from Chris asking us if the strategic alternatives that are at an embryonic stage, if we envision that or expect them to be finalized before the maturity of the bond. You said.
Oh, again, a crystal ball here. Depends not only on the strategic alternative, but also who is the counterpart. Let me give you some examples here. In terms of, for example, a strategic investor or even a M&A, very, very likely would have that completed before the bond's maturity. In terms of divestment, it also depends. I mean, in case it's a foreigner player with no interest in the cement business in Brazil or Argentina, that would be also possible because different than Mozambique and South Africa, basically Argentina, for example, does not need an approval for transferring the mining license rights. Therefore, process should be much shorter. On the other hand, in case it is a player with cement operations in Brazil or even Argentina, that could imply some, antitrust judgment analysis, and therefore, we could take a bit longer. So again, difficult to say at this point in time, as we is still in a embryonic stage, receiving some expressions of interest and also no binding offers and talking to some strategic players.
Thank you, Paulo and Zangari. So now, ladies and gentlemen, the conference is now over. Thank you all for joining today and have a pleasant day. Goodbye.